Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. Everybody, welcome. So excited to have Alan Whitman join us on today's show to talk about his new soundtrack. Well, it's an actual EP album. It is something you actually just start listening to and get into. It's not something where you listen to a single or any of that stuff. And I say stuff. This is just, it's a journey. So welcome, Alan. How are you?
It's very kind of you to have me on. I just wanted to point out that occasionally there may be these sharp, strange, like metallic cracks happening behind me. I live in a place where with steam heat, and we just got hit with a good sized storm, one of the first of the season, and the heater is turned on. And so occasionally it sounds like dwarves banging on metal in Moria or something like that. And it's just
Did you say doors or dwarfs?
Dwarves. banging on, they're mining in
Where are you? You're in San Francisco, right? Or no?
No, I used to be in San Francisco. I spent 38 years in the Bay Area, but no, my family and I are now just east of New York, about 11 miles or so.
Oh yeah, I know you're getting the storm that we got in Louisiana the other day.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you're getting that storm as we record this, and everyone pre-recorded. By the time you hear it, it'll all be cleared or not.
It's exciting,
and
yeah.
Yeah, no, our friend's on her way. We're actually taking care of a friend's house and her pups while she's out representing the state of Louisiana for at the Macy's parade.
Wow.
So, yeah, this I
She's
mean this is
holding down a balloon.
actually she's hanging out with she's going to be part of the I know she's not allowed to be part of the float. We want her to be. But the float thing is a big deal. Apparently, I've did not know what goes into the Rose Bowl and the Macy parade floats. And
So it's a big
the state
deal.
of
All that behind the scenes production, that's where the real action happens.
Well, for an album too. So let's segue. See, good segue. You did
Okay.
good. You did good. Segue into an album, your album. Tell everybody the name of your new album.
Well, it's
Because I can't.
Japanese, and it may, I've been told by a couple of people that maybe the translation may not be perfectly accurate. I wanted to use the phrase landscape of stories, following a trip that my family and I took to Japan for our daughter's birthdays last August. And it came out, according to Google Translate, Monogatari no Fukue. And I'm sure my pronunciation is inaccurate. And then some people tossed it back into Google Translate, and they said something about it's the prefecture of stories. And I'm like, I'm not sure what that translates to. So we're kind of in a little bit of a gray area right there, but it's a
Oh,
good
that's
title. I
good.
like
Gray areas are good. That's where conversation and open-mindedness happens and
Fair
creativity
enough.
flourishes.
Fair enough.
That's where growth happens. And I want you to know, Nancy and I had a bet going on how it's pronounced, and we both lost. But I think Nancy won. Like Nancy, everyone, my mom and co-host, she, I think, is winning at this point. She's got like a step above us. So that's okay. But listen, I'm very excited about your album.
Thank you.
I was listening to it, and I'm excited that you brought in, like, you have one at the station where this is beautiful music, and then it's like, boom, here's what it sounds like at the station, right? You hear all the hustle and bustle and everything. And I think I have a whole project I'm working on people hearing what sound is. And I think, it's a big, massive, crazy project, and
Can
it's
you
exciting. And I'm going to call
ask
you
you,
about this.
can you elaborate a little bit more about what you mean, like for people to find out what sound is? Did I understand you
Okay,
correctly?
so what we're doing, we document parks and public lands. And so As we travel the country, I mean, we do our big blend stuff, music, arts, history, travel, all of that. But parks and public lands is about people loving and understanding their parks, not loving them to death, but understanding also the communicate, like the connection between the community and the park.
And you say
So
national parks, state parks, all parks, just
all
parks.
parks. We
So.
started with national parks, and now we say all parks matter. We love all parks. Pocket parks. Oh, yeah, I got in trouble for that too.
I don't want to, I don't want to steal the fire from a cultural movement, but I understand what you're saying.
Actually, the cultural movement and art, we had t-shirts made, All Parks Matter, and that happened at the same time. And we were wearing them, and some people laughed and some people got mad, and then we're like, okay, our new pajamas now. We didn't mean it that way. We do
Of
mean
course
like
not.
all parks matter because it's preserving and protecting history,
Interesting.
sense of place. And this is the thing I thought about your album is sense of place was immediate for me.
No, interesting.
Immediate.
Ah.
It's a very huge thing as people that travel and do tourism work. We're about responsible tourism and all of that and parks, history, nature. And sense of place is a huge part of life. It's like if you travel somewhere and you gave us this piece of Japan that
Interesting.
I've never been there in the sense of place through the music and then also just the soundscapes of these places, the station and everything. You could, oh, I'm there. So part of what we're doing next year is we're actually revamping our entire Love Your Parks tour to be taking all these parks we've been to, even over COVID, we did like 1,500 parks. No freaking joke. Everybody else was at home. We were documenting.
Wow.
And yes, they did not have facilities, but we know how to squat. But anyway, it's
Exactly.
terrible thing to
Luggable
say. But
Lou to the rescue.
no, we've done so many interviews with, and it's not so many, it's musicians that, field record for the National Parks Arts Foundation. They have this residency program where artists and musicians, songwriters, dancers, I don't care, filmmakers, writers can apply to be in their artist residency program, which is within a national park unit for a month.
Of
So
course.
like Hawaii Volcanoes, by the way, full house, 6-bedroom house with a sound a recording studio in there. Just
Kill
saying.
me now. Wow.
I know. No, nationalparksartsfoundation.org, just giving him a good plug. We love them.
Yes.
Choco
I think
Canyon up in northern New Mexico.
you kind of went, sorry to interrupt, you kind of went quickly over that. I think to give them a proper plug, because we love our national parks, I think say that again, but more slowly.
Nationalparksartsfoundation.org. You
Now.
too can apply for a 1 month 1 month residency in a national park
That's
or like Choco Canyon, northern New Mexico. You could go to Dry Tortugas National Park in the Florida Keys and have your own island for a full month, but you
awesome.
have to bring a partner because you are off grid totally. You even have to go through hurricane training and NASA training and all kinds of
That's
stuff
cool.
to do this, but you are off the grid for a month to record and create.
That's
And I
so
think that
cool.
is something amazing. But these musicians and artists that we've been interviewing, we do this show every first Friday. A lot of them do field recordings. And I started getting into it because we're in parks. And Nancy and I are always here. Like, if you watch birds, you hear them before you see them. And bird watchers know this. And it's like, oh, that's a cardinal over here. But you may not see the cardinal, but you can hear them and you know that you've witnessed a cardinal bird, right?
Yeah.
And so now I want to record the sounds so that blind people know what it's like to be in that park because we have completely, in our society, forgotten about blind people in parks on the internet. So you can may go to a park and they may have some braille sign, which is great, a little outdated too, but great.
Right. At least you're
But
making the effort.
if some we can look at national parks, we can look at pictures of Yosemite, Yellowstone, whatever. You can go to Africa, you can go anywhere on the internet and see pictures. But how about hear them?
Right.
Right? So that's where we're going with our stuff. So listening to what you do with music is so huge because it puts you in the sense of place, but it also gives you this other feeling of where you were and emotion. It brings in this emotional side.
I'd
Does
like
that make sense?
I'd like to elaborate on what you said, because a person that listens to something like what I made, or if another person makes a soundscape that is evocative of place, I think that the listener must bring with them some you have to what's that phrase? Oh Lord, it just left my mind.
Open-mindedness.
But yeah, that's part of it. But where you suspend disbelief. I'm sitting here with
Yes.
headphones. Maybe I'm on a train going to work, but I'm hearing it and I'm allowing it to come into it. And I'm building something. I'm building my experience based on that. But that is just that soundscape, that thing I'm hearing. It's not hitting me over the head the way that pop music does. And don't get me wrong, I love pop music. It's hilarious. But it doesn't. It requires me as the listener to accept it and kind of, I don't want to use the word want, but I open this pathway and it comes in and it kind of explodes in my head. The reason I'm going off on this little tangent is because it was very strange. My wife encouraged me to create this work, and it is due to her encouragement that I did this. And I never thought to myself, okay, I'm going to try to create a Japanese soundscape. And yet, with the use of the titles and the explanation of how the source recordings came about, somehow the music and then the audio environment is, as you say, and it has been to lots of people, which has kind of stunned me, because I didn't sit there and try to go, okay, I'm going to make this sound like the beach of Fukuoka. I'm going to do that. I didn't. I just kind of started doing stuff, and it either made sense to me on an emotional level or it didn't. And there was actually one piece that I got about 70% into it. Like, I was kind of getting close, and I ditched the entire thing. It's like, man, this isn't working.
Wow.
And I, well, so it's okay. You got to be able to fearlessly edit. You got to
Yeah.
fearlessly, and it opens the pathway for other stuff to come in. Anyway, to wrap up this point that I'm sort of circling around, I wasn't trying to recreate a particular station environment except through the use of the sample. The sample is pretty obvious. But this piece of music just kind of grew of its own. I mean, I feel like a dork, but I can't really lay claim to it, because I was kind of selfishly going, oh, that sounds nice. Yeah, I think I'll do that. Like a complete idiot. And it does sound nice. I really like it. I like what happened, but it wasn't intentional. I guess maybe that's the word. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't didactic. It wasn't,
That's nice though. That's pure.
I guess you could
And
say that. Yeah.
I think that's the thing about sense of place is that it's real, right?
Right.
And you can't BS it. You can't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you
And
can't.
if you're going to keep, and that's integrity to the music, integrity to the place. So when you merge those things together, you can't BS it. I'm trying to be so polite, but it's like you can't.
But
You know.
you bring up a really good point. One of my favorite pieces of music back from the 70s is by a band called 10cc. They did an album called
Sure.
the Oh, great. Okay. I'm not in love, so don't
Yeah,
forget.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Amazing record. The Last Picture Show, I think is what it's called. Or the last soundtrack. I forget now what it's called, darn it. Anyway, there's a really long piece on it called Un Nuit en Paris. And it begins where you hear bottles breaking and you hear the horn and all this kind of stuff. And it's obvious, it's tongue in cheek. It's what the Brits would call taking the piss. And indeed, they are creating a soundscape evocative of a Hollywood Paris, obviously, right? Because if you really went there, you'd just hear an urban setting. That's going to be an urban setting. It's not really going to sound like Paris, maybe, I would expect. So yes, there is that intentionality to things that, yeah, you sense it right away. You're like, okay, you're trying to sell me something. And in 10cc's case, it's okay. We want them to sell it to us because it's pop music. We're like, okay, that's awesome. But you can tell the difference between, as you said, it comes from a real place, or you're trying to.
It's got to have the grit and texture and the imperfections.
Right. That's right.
You can't be, as travelers and travel writers, photographers, musicians, we know you can't there's the travel guide versus the memoir. You know what I mean? The memoir is going to be like, okay, I'm going to omit these names, but I'm going to give you the grit. And the grit is where everything lives. The gray area, the grit, that's where it all is the best place. And
Fair
I
enough.
think it makes you
I'd
want to
make.
go to a place, actually.
Okay, say that again. I'm sorry.
The grit. When you're in the grit and the gray area of a an artistic piece, whether it's a memoir or a novel or music like your album now, you have that gray area of grit. And it sounds weird. I explain it, other than it's about the truth, and you've got to have that. And that's where real art flourishes, is from the truth, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. We
Art.
forget the beautiful a
Yeah.
lot.
My dad
And you
would
have it
want
all.
me to, my dad would
You have
want
a
me
lot of
to.
beautiful in there, in
Thank
the
you. I
album.
really
A
appreciate that.
lot
I
of
really do.
beautiful.
That comes from my heart. I just, I was serious when I said I just kind of made it because I liked doing it and it made me happy. So to hear people respond to it is deeply gratifying. And you
Well,
know, travel
yeah.
writing, and I actually have been a journalist and published author, and I've been a managing editor of a 24/7 news website, not a big one, but I've done all that kind of stuff. I've done an enormous amount of writing, and I have a website, alanwhitman.com, where I put up some writing that I used ostensibly to get hired, which is tough these days. But I
Wow.
completely relate to what you're talking about. I've got all kinds of writing, and whether it's blogging or whether it's travel writing, or you're hiking the John Muir Trail and you're writing about your experience with that, or
Oh, yeah.
news writing and all these other things like. So I get exactly where you're coming from. It's recreating this experience, but you're using language, and it's all through filters. And I mean, at one point, the whole thing just becomes a giant soup, and hopefully, the soup tastes good, but it doesn't always.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny because I was talking about this with Nancy the other day about travel writing and travel writers, because we do so many shows with travel writers and, publish their work and everything. And then I go to, like, how many times can you use the word delicious? And what are we going to do about how many words are we going to use? Like, are we going to get into all these fancy words when the art is really about storytelling, right? And how fancy are we going to get? Oh, we want to be the snob with the fancy word
I mean, you read
versus
Dashiell Hammett, right? You read Dashiell Hammett. He tells a story. He does not get into highfalutin vernacular. He doesn't do it. He uses the same words, or Bukowski, right? Or even Kerouac, if you like. I mean, they're using all the same damn words again and again and again, but sometimes somehow it's still a compelling narrative. How do they do
Sense of
it? I don't
place.
know.
It's sense of place. That's what, going back to your album, sense of
Yeah.
place. You
So
set
you're right.
the scene.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important now. I know this is, seven songs, but it's an experience. So to me, this is one of those you put in, you listen to the whole. I love that, where it's you're on a journey. And
True
at
enough.
this day and age where we're like single, 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 like, listen, it's like, here's your one potato chip. You don't get the whole bag. Here it is. This is your golden potato chip. That's it. That's it. I don't want the golden potato chip. I want the bag, because I do. I want, like, to sit out and watch the ducks in the pond and eat the potato bag of potato chips, the small bag.
And
And I
responsibly
want my
discard the
moment.
bag when I'm
I want a moment. I don't want the golden potato chip that goes, here, I cracked your tooth because I'm golden.
I love pop music. I love pop songs because, one in 10,000 is stone genius, and the rest of them are
Yeah,
like,
that's true. You're right. You're right.
you're trying to kill me here, or you want my attention too much, which is part of the beauty of pop music. But you just want my attention too much, and I don't have that much bandwidth, So it's a love-hate relationship. But when you get a good one, oh my God.
Walking on Sunshine, right?
Oh,
How
I
you can hate
actually,
that song
interesting
as
to say
much
that.
as you want, but you really love it.
But, that song actually, and this is what's great about humans, right? That song doesn't do it for me. I got it right away. I understood it immediately. It was like, okay, yep, it's great pop song, but it didn't get me at a deeper level. It didn't get me inside. Something like I Can See for Miles by The Who, that early pop song, that got me on a deep level. Like that scared me a little bit. It was like, wait, there's something else going on there.
Yeah,
That's
that's
just
not.
one example. I mean, there's new stuff. Oh my God, speaking of new, are you familiar with Outkast?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard Andre 3000's brand new album that just dropped last week, I think?
No.
Oh my God. I'm not going to say anything else other than he has just thrown away the rule book. It's amazing.
I want to hear anybody
Yeah.
who throws the rule book out
Highest
the window. I'm
recommendation.
in.
I think it's off the hook, but it ain't what you expect.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you've got to throw the rule book away in music,
He
you
just
know.
did. God bless him. Oh man.
No, well, I'm gonna have to. Outkast was like when I was like in my teens and
Yeah,
stuff.
this
Like,
is not Outcast. This is not Outcast. That's
oh, I'm
yeah.
gonna. Well, now let me go to that about your album,
Okay.
right? People know that. Okay, so you work with Joe Satriani and a whole bunch of people like Surf Rock, right? The
Sure. Okay.
Mermen, the Mermen, the Mermen. I get to say it, the Mermen. I love that.
It's fun.
Not the merman, the
No,
mermen.
the merman.
But you've done all these different genres, right? And so when we go to this album, I'm going, they're going to be surprised.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, but isn't that the beauty of it all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Picasso is a good example of somebody who just kept changing stuff. Miles Davis just kept, Lou Reed. I'm just going to do what I do, and that's cool. You know, I mean, it's fine to be the kind of artist who keeps recreating their own personal wheel. Nothing wrong with it at all. But then there's also the people who are breaking new ground for themselves. I'm not talking about they don't have to be a leader for humanity. They're just pleasing themselves. I mean, come back to Picasso. He's always doing this wacky stuff and he's kind of leading the way. Miles Davis, another perfect example. He's just leading the way in his own way, just doing what pleases him in his own damn way. And that's enough in my book. You know, that's enough.
I agree. I agree. Doing the art and the integrity to it. So that's where these sound recordings being out, you know, filming at the station, well, recording at the station, but actually getting these field recordings brings integrity into a sense of place of sound.
If it works,
And
works
so
music.
it just kind of gives you this, you know, like I grew up in Kenya as a little kid.
Wow.
And I think this was close to it for me, going in and being out in nature and this beauty, right? Birds. This is where your music comes in. Sound, just beauty, right? And then you go into the market or you go anywhere near a town, it's like hustle bustle. It's like what? It's like a opposite. But it's really not because the birds sound the same. Well, let's put the people almost sound like the birds. I'm going to put the animals first, right? The
Hello.
hustle bustle is the same thing. You could put a bunch of hello crows at a crosswalk, right? And you
Mean,
could.
because sometimes the stories write themselves. You know, you hear a particular sample, it's like, you know, you hear the beep, beep,
Dude, yeah.
crows, and it feels that actually that particular recording was just done like in the middle of the afternoon on a weekday. But it sounds, now that I listen to it, it sounds like 4 a.m. and heavy fog. It's weird. And I think I listened to it. I'm like, wait a second. That doesn't sound like what I remember doing, but that's what it is. It's very
See,
strange.
but now, what do you think about this for people? If people who travel get to go there and experience all these sounds, now they're going to be connected to the places, right, that you went to. Okay, now locally, they're going to be connected. They're like, oh, he's recorded our area. Our land and made music of it. So now you're appealing to the locals,
Maybe.
you're appealing to the travelers, and then I go back to people that can't be there can actually have the sense of place of hearing because sound is such a big deal when you travel. It's a huge
Sounds a
deal.
big deal anyway. I mean, my God, you know, it's just
Yeah, sound is what tells you when something's going down too.
True enough. That's right.
Right? You know, like, oh crap, move, run. But I think what you're doing, I love it when people put sense of place into the music and can do that. And you've done it really well,
Thank you. I
that
really
it flows and also jolts you. I'm not going to say it flows like, oh, you're on a smooth little riverboat ride and there's no bumps in the river. That doesn't exist, number one.
Right.
And so it's reality. And again, a nod to sense of place, because there's no such thing as a smooth river for, that many minutes.
I wanted to take the song Clouds. I guess I forget which number track it is, but
A
it's only,
three, number three.
oh, thank you. It's only about 2 minutes long, and I wanted to make it like 20 minutes long. I just love
I can imagine that.
feeling. I love that. Just that can play in the background and I can just go,
But
ah.
this is a beauty. Your music is beautiful.
Thank you for
Tell us
saying.
a little bit about your musical journey. When did you get started in music? Like when you knew,
Boy.
like,
Wow.
oh, I'm gonna do this for the. I mean, that's what I was saying,
I think it started in the womb, I have to say. And no joke, my father sang second bass. I'm a bass player primarily and a vocalist, believe it or not. But my father sang second bass and he had a really powerful, accurate voice. And he sang in church choir and he sang in quartets. And his music was very, I mean, my God, he had access to, Harlem and that places like that right after,
Oh,
but he never went.
back
He
then.
went in the back.
What?
He only knew about church music and
Oh.
barbershop quartet bullshit. So God bless him. Still, he could really
But
sing.
there's still a sound. You see, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
Well,
it's like, damn
it
it,
was part of
but.
the family life. We sang four-part harmony growing up. I was a
Oh.
soprano. My sisters can sing. My father could sing. And
Wow.
we could do Edelweiss in four-part harmony effortlessly without practice. I
But
mean,
that learning harmony taught you bass, right?
we
Didn't
didn't
it?
learn it.
Like,
We just kind of did it. It was weird because it kind of, I guess what I don't want to like make it into a judgment of any kind, but it came so damn naturally that yes, we sang in church choirs. We did that. We absolutely did that. And that does teach you a lot. And it was so rewarding because it was more than just doing it right. It was how good it felt. I mean, my God, really felt.
God, when you get the harmony right, it's like a
Ain't
it's
nothing like it.
meditational. It's
Absolutely.
it is like a it's
That
amazing. I did a thing with oh God, what do you call them? David Madrigal singers. Is that how you pronounce it? Madrigal? Madrigal?
Madrigal is a form of song from, I guess, the 1600s is when it first popped up. And
Wow.
it uses four pieces, to my knowledge. And it's not always vocal, sometimes it's only instrumental. But
Yeah, they have like Janis Joplin's little thingy that they
Oh,
this is when I was a teenager. When we got to this country, I wanted to get back in music, and
Janis
I
Joplin was in a Madrigal? I don't know.
no, she wasn't. She had a auto harp, one of those. She had like that little auto harp instrument. Like,
Didn't know that. That's cool.
she did play. And Janis, that's how she got around musically at the beginning, was like an auto harp. And I may
Wow.
have the name wrong of this instrument, but
Yeah.
it was an auto harp.
Solo
And Nancy's
guitar. I mean,
giving me
she
the
did
heads,
have
and
it.
Nancy knows.
Yeah.
She knows all, and she's already winning the contest on the name of your album. So she gets the second base on this one. But no, so I entered this. I went and said, okay, I'll re like go and audition for this Madrigal singing group. And
Interesting.
I had to, this woman sat with her pling pling pling, the auto harp thing, pling pling pling. It was like going back into Amish times almost, like really. And I had to sing and read music, and I hadn't done it since I was a kid in school. And I was still young, really young, just got back here. I think I was like 21, 22, had no clue. And I had to, like, it was like a speed test of reading music and singing it. Like, that's the B. You better hit the B and know what the B sounds like. Here's your little cue from the piano and the little harpy thing. And
I
I
love
did it. I did it. And I got accepted. And I went, hell no, I'm out. But I was like, Oh my God, that was such a test to learn music. Like, it was a speed test, it was a rehearsal, and I don't know why I did what I did and why I did it, but I wanted to push myself in
That's
that.
so interesting.
And that reading music and harmony, you had to sing harmony and on the spot. And I think they saw that I could do it, and I should have probably stuck with it just for that education. But the harmonies, when you get harmony, it is the most beautiful thing on the planet. You
Absolutely. Yeah.
can't beat it, right? It's like, and
One nice
it
voice is
happens.
great, but when you start piling voices on top of them and they're all together, it definitely it becomes transcendent.
Same as with instruments, right? That's when you jam and stuff, like it's like, oh, we're in there.
Think it's good.
And
If everybody's
yeah.
on the one, as the man says, if everybody's on the one, yeah, but it can also be discordant and very difficult to listen to. It
Oh,
can,
been there. Been
yeah.
there. And then as a vocalist going, holy crap, I'm gonna have to sing this out somehow. But I think this is what's interesting. You are able to take things that were not necessarily gonna flow with the music and put it in there.
Yeah,
That's what's
you kind of
interesting.
follow your inspiration at that point, right? As if you're a painter, you're like, I'm going to put this here, right? What was it? Oh God, Kate Bush.
Oh.
I put this moment here in your left ear. And then she goes, I put this moment here. And now she's in your other ear. And then she goes, I put this moment. And then you hear a man's voice over here. And it's like, wow, it's really great. The point is that you choose where you want it to be. And if you're not involved in it mentally, then it's as we've been talking about. It's coming from it's coming from an honest place. And that's going to resonate with a listener who has ears to hear, which is nice.
Oh, this is awesome. I love this conversation with you. This is
You started it.
creativity, right?
You
It's
started
creativity. It's creativity and honesty.
it.
And you can't have true creativity without pure honesty.
I guess. I mean, it's we really
Oh, maybe
value.
not. I don't know
We lack
now.
words. We need words to communicate. And oftentimes, expressing the inexpressible is it's either a fool's game or it's a profit making enterprise for a dummy's guide to poetry or something like that. It's tough. It's really tough. It's talking about art. It's extremely problematic, unless you're really deeply involved in a one particular artist's creative process. Like I could probably listen to Miles Davis talk about how he made something, but he wouldn't because he'd be like, whatever, I'm on to the next thing. I get it.
Yeah.
It's
Get
really,
on with it. Yeah. It's weird and wild and beautiful. It is. It is. Creativity is weird, wild, and beautiful. And it's a trip, and it's often painful too. You know,
Absolutely.
creativity is like because you also have to edit. And I get in trouble all the time for saying you have to edit and cut, kill the babies.
You
Like
have
there's
to edit.
things.
You must be a fearless editor. I am convinced. You have to be willing to throw something away if you're not capital N feeling capital F it, capital I. You got to be just absolutely fearless with yourself. And that's a tough thing. I think that's a real challenge.
But when you're putting an album like this together and you're going through your field recordings, and you may have had like, this is my one thing I really want in there. And then you go, it doesn't flow with the rest. Like, that's gotta be hard. Do you think like sometimes it just goes, do you shelve it for something later? Or do
Yeah.
you just cut it ahead? Because like, I often feel like creativity is you create to destroy. It's like weird.
Well, you're
It's like,
Kali, right? You're Kali. You're the creator and the destroyer.
yeah.
It's two sides of the same coin. Cool.
Now, do you have things that you like from your recordings and creativity of this album that may become a second?
I thought about it. I have plenty of other field recordings. It would be searching within the recordings that I have not used because you do the first pass and you pull out what you like, and then you've got other stuff. And will I revisit it? I may. I don't know. I'm working on a couple of other things right now that are taking the place of that, but I may
Yeah.
do that. And you know how in creativity and in life, everything goes in waves. And there was a particular period of time when I could create that album. Probably it was made in, I don't know, call it 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that, primarily.
Yeah, it was quick. I was
But
reading that.
this
That's quick.
past month has been impossible. I don't know why that is, but who cares? I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to look for reasons. It's just sometimes you got the time to create, and other times you're just going to have to make pizza and go grocery shopping and keep the laundry.
Listen, we live on pizza, salad, and coffee and wine.
Yeah.
Listen, we travel. It's the safest and easiest way to survive. It is because there's times where we're like, okay, we can make a decent dinner. And then there's the super high tense, like you're going nonstop. And people don't understand creative times of all hours. They don't. And it's okay. They don't have to. But at that time, we call for pizza, right?
Every moment is certainly a portal if it seems right. Other times it's just like I'd rather just go to sleep. But there are
Ah.
times, it could happen anytime. You don't know. You just don't.
But this album to me, I love it because it's again going outside the country for you, right? And so was that part of the hey, I went like what was it for you that said I'm gonna make an album? Like actually, like this is gonna
Primarily
be an
my
album.
wife, she, I
You
mean,
know,
she,
you're saying that about recordings, but like the album, was she the album too?
ah, I see your point. Yes, yeah, she indirectly suggested the creation of it. I don't know if she had a particular vision, probably not. She's an artist as well, but in a different medium. She works in fabric, and
Oh,
I think
awesome.
she was thinking it. Yeah, she's pretty up there in their world.
Oh.
I think that she was encouraging me to do more openly creative work as opposed to crafting amusing pop songs for myself and my friends. That's okay, but I think she encouraged me to sort of branch out, but with again without too much intentionality. There wasn't a lot of intentionality in this work, which is its own reward. It was really
I
pleasing.
think that's when it is the true nature sometimes, you know,
Right. Yeah.
when
Yeah.
it's just like it's calling you and it's like you're supposed to go there. So that's awesome. And I love that your wife works in fabric because that's like a beautiful art form that is forgotten. I'm a
Yeah.
huge,
Yeah.
huge fabric lover.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, really, really, growing up in South Africa, we used to have all these imprints of different historical patterns and stuff. And anyway, that's a whole other show. But anyway, tell your wife, please. I respect. I bow down. I love it. I love it.
I'll tell her you said
I.
I absolutely
No,
will.
no. Fabric art is. Yeah. Don't start me. Anyway, it's a huge, huge deal. But okay, so. It is out now through squeakystudios.bandcamp.com, right? Everyone go there. Squeaky Studios. Can we just talk about that name? We like the squeaky. Who wants a squeaky? The squeaky toy. Everybody
I think, yeah,
wants a squeaky.
it was kind of goofy. I wasn't taking myself seriously when I put together that particular, I don't know, what do we call it, brand. And I also misspelled squeaky intentionally because
No, that's funny.
the regular spelling wasn't available. So I inserted an E before the
Yep.
I in squeaky, which just makes it even more complicated. Like, really, Alan, you gotta make
Yeah.
this problematic for
Go
yourself.
for it.
So I just started pooping out stuff, making things that amuse me. And after a while, again, my wife was very supportive. She's like, I think, you should take this seriously and you should actually represent with your own name. So this particular album is for all intents and purposes, the first time I've put out music in my own name in, oh geez, it's been decades. It's been a long time. And so I think that particular representation, when one accurately represents oneself, I think that's added some gravitas to it. I think resonance. I think that's made it a little bit more than just like, hoo-ha, I played guitar, yay you. I think
Well,
it
I mean,
all.
yeah, I mean, people look, obviously you look back at, playing with Joe Satriani and the Mermen. I love saying the Mermen
You
at the
really
end.
do, don't you? That's really awesome. We
No, it's
formed
fun.
that band in '89, and the guitar player, who at the time was just messing around on a four track, and he and I worked in a music store together. We did not like each other at all. I mean, we
Wow.
did not. There was frisson. It was not good. And of course, it was commission sales, so we stole each other's deals, and we didn't like each other.
Right on.
Morning, I come in. I mean, he was always over there with a Stratocaster and a cheap reverb and a Porta Studio, a four-track cassette recorder. And one morning, when I guess we were in a good mood or something wasn't so bad, I said, "Can I listen to what you're making?" And to his credit, he was like, "Sure, you can hear it." And they were these simple guitar melodies over a drum machine. And of course, the drum machine was going do da da do da do da da do 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 do. Of course, and but the melodies were really compelling, and I was like, "This is really good. Do you mind if I put some bass parts to it?" He goes, "No, that's fine," in his totally lackadaisical way. And so I did. And after it was over, he goes, "Yeah, I like it too." He said, "What do you think I should do?" I said, "We should get a real drummer and record it in a real studio." And that's what gave
Always
me
get
that
a real
impulse.
drummer. I'm sorry, everybody, get a real drummer.
It's
It's part of the
true.
foundation. A bass player
Absolutely.
cannot play with a don't. Anyway, sorry.
Well, it's no, I hear you. It's the your rant is you're preaching to the choir, but you're
I
exactly
know.
right. Right. No, it's true. And so we actually made that record, Krill Slippin', and from there on it just became this burgeoning insanity and a whole bunch of other stories. And then I left in 99, right around there, and that whole thing fell apart. It's a whole different world. And
And
then
that was when you were in the Bay Area, right?
yeah, I lived in the Bay Area for 38 years, from 1980
Wow.
to 2018. And
Oh,
oh
wow.
yeah,
So you
that
were
was a
there
long
when
time.
we drove through. Yeah, we were there doing our tour and stuff. But
Yeah.
that's a you were there for a while then.
Yeah,
Like
and the Mermen were 89 to the original Mermen that I was part of. Were there
wow.
from 89 to call it 98, maybe 99's pushing it. I did a few shows with them after I came back because it was some bad blood, unfortunately. You know, bands suck.
Yeah, Ben
There's bad
stuff.
blood. And then one day I was doing a show with some improv guys, Ralph Carney, who used to play with he died a couple of years ago. He used to play with Tom Waits. And so I was in an improv band with him and a couple other cats. We're going up to a show and I got a phone call, and it was the drummer for the Mermen, Martin. And I'm like, "Hello, Martin. It's been 8 years." You know, he goes,
Yeah.
"Alan, can you come back?" I'm like, "Okay, Martin, but you know what? Jim, the guitar player, Jim's got to call me because I appreciate you calling me because, you know, I got no bad blood with him. We have no karma. But with the guitar player, with Jim, I was like, I want Jim to call me." So he called me the next day. Goes, "Alan, I'm calling you from this surf break in Pillar Point. And oh man, you gotta." I'm like, "Okay, cool. You know, good. That's what I wanted." And the answer,
You
the short
just gotta
answer,
clear the air.
yeah, we'll do it. And then I was with them again, second time, version two, for maybe what, a year or less. Oh, that's right. I said, "We got to make a new album. That's the only way I'll stick around is if we actually make an album. You write the songs, we rehearse them, we play them, and we record them. No messing around. We have a goal, and we do it." And we did it. And then we had a big we did a bunch of shows, and we had a record release party in San Francisco. And I got Joe Satriani and his drummer Jeff Campitelli to come, and they
Wow.
came. Because I'd been courting Joe for decades. I've been ever since he released his first, because I used to be in bands that played with him and Jeff
Yeah.
together in their new wave band. So I knew them and they knew me, and it was just never worked out. And finally it worked out. And they came to the show and Joe was like, "Oh my God." And I was like, "Thank you. Let's play together." He goes, "Okay." And I was like, "Holy shit, that was easy."
So that's how you got together with Joe
Yeah, but
Satriani as a
again, I'd
bass
known
player?
him for decades and Jeff as well. Jeff's a
Wow.
marvelous drummer. Oh my God.
But it really is about relationships, and
Well, yeah.
band drama is like epic.
Stupid. Yeah. I
When
mean, it doesn't
it's, I
always, it
mean,
doesn't have to be. Joe's a real professional. He's
no,
got that.
Joe,
But the
yeah.
Mermen, when you're in a band like that, you know, you're driving across the country in a Ford F-350, towing a trailer, and you all hate each other, and it's 8 hours to
Oh,
Nines, you know,
God.
and you just played in
No.
Albuquerque or more than, it's like more like 20
It's
hours.
like who can fart the loudest to just piss
Lord
off the other
love
person.
a duck. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's bad. Our band in San Diego, man. I mean, our rhythm guitarist, we thought he was in jail for drugs and stuff. His previous jail time, it turned out he was a rapist.
Oh God, no, that's not
I
okay.
know, like, and he, I mean, we've shared hotel rooms and stuff. Like, we're like, holy crap, really?
Yeah.
Our first gig was in Mexico, got over the border, and our drummer got arrested. So
Lovely.
it's like, yeah, I mean, band
Bands suck.
Stuff is,
Just go ahead and
and
say it.
you,
That's all you need
but
to
it
say.
is, it's a beautiful thing, and it's not, I, people think it's all a romantic story. Not when you're going through it. No, it's not. But it is the power of music
Right.
is truly,
That's what keeps you
you
together, as
can,
long as you still have that. That's what.
yeah, you can have bunch of people you don't like together, and you can actually produce something really good. It's really amazing, isn't that? Like in a band, your anger can transform on stage into something beautiful, or a recording. It really can transform into something beautiful, no matter what was the intent. It's
As humans,
actually.
it's difficult for us because we haven't been trained in how to manage that energy without having it spill over into our breakfast. You know, that's tough.
We're getting there. We're getting there, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. I would like, you know what? I would like to hope, because I still do, even after all this time, I'm pointing my finger at the screen right now while I talk, get the visual, right? I would like to think that we are actually evolving and that we're just going through an incredibly difficult and painful upheaval right now as a human race. But I still hold out hope where a lot of people have given up. And I've talked to many people about that. There's one fellow in particular who taught me how to meditate and who I worked with, did body work for many years in San Francisco. And I asked him once, I was like, well, you know, what do you think? I mean, you have any hope for the human race? He goes, no. I'm like, holy shit, you don't?
No, you have to keep hope.
That's what
You
I
have
think.
to.
I do.
Because
I really
if
do.
you get into history, history repeats itself, right?
I
We
like to.
have climate change, we have all of these wars that are the same wars, right? Basically repeating themselves. But human, you know, you see humanity through these wars and through disasters. When we lived in California, we lived in Julian, San Diego, is a mountain town, and we went through at that time the largest wildfire. We went through 7 evacuations in a year and a half, and I saw humanity of people that stole each other's business signs, get together to save each other, right? I saw cops also take people's dogs and put them into the, like, people that are evacuated with their dogs, and also cops take their dogs and say, "You have a dog in the car." I'm like, "Yeah, you're evacuated, you idiot." You know, so we've seen all kinds of different things, of all kinds of emergency situations, and unfortunately, and Nancy and I have been through a little bit of everything, having lived in Kenya, England, South Africa, Mexico, and America. When disaster happens, it doesn't matter what country you're in. People get together and they work together. Some people are asses and will steal from you during a disaster, but 95 to 98% of the people will actually work together. Then the disaster happens and everybody goes, "Oh man, everybody's so cool. They did this, this, this." Okay, give it 10 weeks, 10 days, 10 days to 10 weeks, and everybody becomes idiots again. But we do have humanity growing and moving forward.
That's beautiful.
And
I really hope so.
I really do have hope, honestly, because we travel the country full time, and we do our parks, we do our podcasts, and we do our business. And as is since COVID, we started pet sitting. It's not a paid thing. It's everybody's, yeah, trusted house sitters. Everybody, check it out, trustedhousesitters.com. It's a way. This lady came on our show, Angela. She's a community lady. She came on and talked about it on our show. We were like interested in this, and we're like, "What's this about?" And it's cool. People can pet sit and visit an area, and the other people, the homeowners, travel off, you know, and someone's actually in the home instead of your pets being in a kennel, and someone's actually in your house, which at this day and age, like, you want someone in your house. And trust me, we've been doing it for a while now, and it turned out to be the best thing. But there's also this immersion thing where we get there the night before and we have dinner with the couple, the pet parents, right? And we could be of different political beliefs. It doesn't matter. We come together on travel and pets. Guaranteed, they have an album rack of music that we like. Guaranteed.
That's cool.
Guaranteed we can come together on something. I say through what we've been doing over the last few years, it's gotten worse of divides of people, but I really believe through what we're doing that people want to be together.
I agree. People want to
I
avoid.
really do believe that. And I love that
Given
you
the
did
choice
your
between
album because it,
suffering, given the choice
huh?
between suffering and not suffering, I think we'd all choose not suffer.
Exactly. One guy we sat for, him and his wife, and she was awesome. She goes, "Don't sweat small stuff, Lisa," because I'm like, the washing machine was doing this. She's like, here. And her husband, they're both military. And he just looks, he says, "I don't care what political party. None of us want climate change to take us out. None of us want all these disasters to take us out. None of us do. It's about coming together, you know? And it doesn't really matter about the political party. Do we want all these things to happen to us? No, we don't. We really don't. You can argue about them all the we're just wasting time when we do it. But I'm going to go back to the power of music. Your album takes us to a place we may never have been. I've never been to Japan, but I feel good listening to your music about it, going, ooh, you know, I feel like I kind of went there. You know, I feel like I kind I no, I kind of went there because I'm not there, right? But I'm have like an experience. And you've got to think how many people get to go to Japan? Not everybody. And that's the power of the arts, is to really take people and transport people into places that they've never been
You know,
or want to go.
you bring up a good point because I realized that it was my third visit to Japan, the first being with the Merman in 92. We were taken there by a guy who just loved the music and wanted to give it back to his culture. So he actually flew us over there. We did a bunch of small shows, Tokyo and Yokohama. And then in 2007, I worked with a theater company who specialized in doing the classic Japanese no form, but infusing the form with Western story. A really interesting thing. I worked with my partner, Tsuki Okan, musical partner, and we created an entire music bed for a whole lot of works with them. And we went to Japan to see the original No there. That was 2007. And then, of course, going on this trip simply for our daughter's birthdays, which is why we were there, and then turning it into an artistic representation as well. You just sort of inspired me to think that in some ways I'm sort of giving back, which is kind of cool.
Oh, you absolutely are. And when you go to a destination or a place that you're going to, and when I say destination, people think immediate tourism, but that it, I don't care where it is. It could be a two road dusty place in Louisiana, right? I'm just bringing that up.
It could be the crossroads, man.
Oh, I know. I was going there. I was kind of going there in my head and going, don't do that. But okay, let's go there, right? Look how that changed the
Basically,
world.
everyone has a
If,
metaphorical crossroads.
yeah, every, but isn't that the thing? Wherever you go, it's like, it's so important that
There you are.
where we travel, people want to be acknowledged about their communities because we travel to a lot of small places, right? That get left off the place. Like right now, we're in Natchitoches, Louisiana, the oldest settlement, right? Louisiana, when everybody thinks about Louisiana, the first thing they think about is New Orleans.
Course.
Of course, New Orleans should be. And our friend is from New Orleans that we're, you know, hanging out with. But the reality is all these little communities make the entire state. And New Orleans is great. It's got beignets, it's got music, French Street Quarter, and all that. And so does Natchitoches. And the community itself is like, oh, you actually understand us. You come to visit. You took time to visit. You put your dollars in our town, as tourism. You eating, drinking, buying things, whatever. Getting gas, hotel rooms, bed and breakfast rooms, whatever, like you invested in their community. These people do actually they like are like thank you. And when someone comes to their town, beyond the dollar thing, when someone creates something, like if you write an article, make a video, do something, and do an album, oh God, that's like timeless, man. You beat us out as travel writers. You win. Like you did an album in Japan. Like I can't do that,
The
you
good
know.
news, Lisa, the good news is it's not a competition.
I exactly right, but isn't but the people of that area love it. It means something that someone appreciates their region, their community, who they are.
I would like to speak to that, if I may. We stopped very briefly in Kyoto, which of course is a famous tourist place. And of course, there's also regular Kyoto. But while we were there, my wife suggested that we all put on, we get fitted for professionally, actual kimonos, our 8-year-old, our 16-year-old, herself and myself. And I thought to myself, well, that sounds like cultural appropriation. I don't think I would want to do that. And then I did a little research online, and it turned out it was it according to online, which is, you know,
Kimonos in Kyoto.
it's like
Yes.
a form of respect. And I was like, okay, that sounds doable, and my wife really wants to do it. Let's do it. So we did it, and we went walking. We took the taxi from the place where we got it all done, and we went out to the old town and walked around. And I was astonished. It really was. It was like, thank you for doing that. I mean, people didn't were not overt and saying that, but I could feel it. And it was like, you took the time to give a damn in that regard, in that way that I never would have thought would have been appropriate as an American. I would be like, oh no, you can't. That's just wrong. But it turns out I was wrong. It was actually like, yeah. That's
You
really
don't know until you go.
well. I mean, it's also a risk, you know. I mean, there's so many ways that could go south, you know. But obviously, in that regard, it went swimmingly. It was wonderful.
Oh, that's interesting that you think that way. And I don't like, I suppose I do, but I just get in. I just always get in. And, it's like the other day we drove across state the country basically from North Carolina to Louisiana, and oh actually to Tucson, then we just got to Louisiana. Anyway, that's our crazy life. And we were in Odessa area of Texas, like it was that region, and it's all oil and gas. And I was driving at like 4 or 5 in the morning, and pulled over at a gas station. The gas station thing wasn't working, and I'd go inside, and I went in, and all these oil workers were there, and they looked at me like, "What is a white woman doing in this place?" You know, I'm not dressed up or anything. I look like I've been driving for the 20 hours I have been, and walked in, and it was, they were like, that's how early they're going to work. And the air is horrible. You can't breathe. It's terrible. It's a terrible quality of life. But that's they're there. And as soon as I walked in to this gas station place, like it was a shop with, they were making burritos, and it was like I was back in Mexico, like 100%.
How were they? How were
Like
the
so frigging cool.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God, I'm happy, you know. And the one guy's like, no, you come in front of me. And I was the only woman, and the only girl there was doing the burritos on the side. And this was like a chain store, but not when you get to Texas. Like not when you get to these places. They're all there doing their job. They had their shift. They were on it. And I was like, God, I'm so glad I came in, you know. It was so, I don't know how to explain it other than what you do with the sound of sense of place, right? How do you deliver that, you
Sometimes
know,
you just gotta dance
yeah, to me, I would have gone and recorded the burrito making.
it. The
I wanted to hear the
delicious
scraping
burrito.
of the mouth, the cookware, you know. But there's something about that, and you just put it all together, which means the world to me. as a traveler, travel writer, musician, all that stuff.
I
I
appreciate
just, it means the world to me when someone goes beyond, you know, when we look at the world of AI and all this crap, like, this is the reality. We can bring things together and still be super creative, but keep it reality based. I think that's amazing. It's
I
very cool.
really like
Yeah.
words. I have to say that unfortunately, or for better or worse, I have some children that I have to attend to
I
as
know. I have to go too. We're over time. We're all over time. But anyway, thank you so much. Everybody, Alan Whitman's album is out now. Give everybody, tell everybody how to pronounce it.
Oh well, it's I pronounce it as an American, Monogatari no Fukue, but I'm sure I'm not exactly right. But it can be had at our album site on Bandcamp, but not under that name, under Squeaky Studios, and that's with an extra E between the K and the Y, unfortunately, just making it more complicated for life. But it's I don't know, you could search up probably not the best way. Just squeakystudios.bandcamp.com and misspell squeaky. Thank you.
Yeah, misspell squeaky. Put that E by the Y. It's all good. Well, thank you so much, Alan. It's been a real pleasure.
You're very kind to have me on. I really appreciate it. Tell your mom I said hi, and
Yeah,
maybe
Miss
there's a burrito
Nancy.
in our future. Who knows?
Oh, hopefully, hopefully. You take care.
All right.
Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.